So for this one, I'm going to ask you guys a little bit of feedback, like I said, that I do at times and want your feedback, okay? So what, and I've already kind of given you some of these answers maybe, but specifically more of this group, I guess I'm digging on right now. What is the church? So you guys just help me define, if we're to define the church, and it may take a couple of comments, it may take a couple of minutes, that's okay, we'll get there. What is the church? Give me some of your feedback on what is the church. There's no wrong answer that we're not going to. Yes. Okay. It's a body of people. All right. What else is the church? Okay. It's an organization of God's people. Okay. I think we have to be careful in some of our minds that we get too hung up on the word organization. It's exactly what he said. It is an organization of God's people. Okay? That's a great point. What else is the church? A group of Christians. Okay? So, who purchased this thing? Why do we even have the church? Okay, to worship God, but who purchased it? What was the price paid for the church? Christ, his blood. Right? His blood. And I'm really going a little bit slow on that and hanging on that because I think sometimes we get away from what the church is. Sometimes you got to stop your friends, your family, or maybe even your brothers and sisters in Christ and go, hang on a second. Let's remember something. Jesus gave his life for this thing. Okay, so it's pretty serious to him. It's pretty serious from God's point of view in that he sent his son. Okay, so I think those are all really good answers of what is the church, okay? Now, the piece that maybe I'm wanting to kind of talk about a little bit right now, what does the church have to offer? So what is the church supposed to offer to you? What does the church have to offer? What can you take part in? What can you benefit from as being in the church? It's a place where you can come and what? Worship the Lord, right? Okay? But we got to be careful that we don't get in our minds hung up on the fact that we're coming to church as this physical location, right? We could have met out the corner of somewhere else, at the corner of a street, and been together, and we are the church. So you and you and you and you, everyone, you're the church, okay? You are the church. Sometimes we act like, I think we get in conversation, and I'm talking from a spot, I guess, in my heart right now. I'm a little stirred up, kind of on a negative slant towards a lot of people in my age bracket. I've had several pretty deep conversations on my back porch in the last 2 months with three different families, and just they're just getting confused about what the church is. Some friends of ours are getting mixed up about, you know, they're wanting the church to go and do a lot of good things. They're really good things involving, you know, orphanages and feeding people or whatever. And I tell the people, because the elders did not stamp and sign off on those things, they're getting mad saying, well, the church doesn't care about these things. And I say to them, hold on a second. You're the church. If you see someone's hungry and you want to feed them, you go feed them. That would be someone of the church helping someone. The church and its organization doesn't have to corporately go, okay, guys, we're going to go and do. We have to be real careful, first of all, what we can do anyway, right? God has to authorize it. So you might have a really good idea, and your heart might really get stirred about something, okay? For example, I am getting dialed in right now with a group that I'm just in the early stages of getting this going. It's a group called Hope to Walk, okay? It's not a church, and it doesn't claim to be a church. It's a nonprofit organization. We're going to go to Honduras hopefully in August, and we found a way to really build limbs for below the knee amputees right now, working on some other levels like me above the knee. We're going to go build people really low cost legs. That's a good thing, right? That's not something that the Lord would say, yeah, that's spiritual business, right? That's not the Lord's business. That's Hope to Walk's business. So we're going to go as a third party nonprofit, and we're going to go do good. But sometimes people get in their minds some idea like that. Obviously, emotionally, you can pluck my strings pretty easy on people who need a limb, right? And I might say to my church back in Concord where I attend, the Lord's church, shouldn't even use that kind of terminology, sorry, hey, there's a lot of people in Honduras that need limbs. We've got to do something, right? And the elders might say, well, really, I don't think the Lord's going to let us do that. And I might get my feelings hurt and stomp off or whatever. And that's kind of what I'm alluding to. That's what's going on with some of my friends right now. And I keep telling them, you're missing the point. You're getting confused about the church. You think it's some type of institution that's going to feed everyone and give water to everyone. Let me tell you what the church is. The church, through the book of Ephesians, is a group of people, rightly said by you, but it is something that has been blood bought. There aren't many organizations that have been blood bought. Number one. So that ought to raise our awareness to this is something a little more serious than a hope to walk and go give people limbs. This organized body was blood bought by Jesus. Predestined a long time ago in God's plan. We sing, like I told you earlier, before the world began, God made a great plan. In that plan is the church. But I do want you to kind of hang on this, okay? This is the church and the steeple. Open it up. This is the people. So I want you, especially the young people, to understand that you, once you put on Christ and you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you are the church. You are. We are. Collectively, we become the church. You're a member of the church. So don't start pointing the finger, go, well, the church isn't this, the church isn't that. If the church isn't doing something, then Michael Jackson says, if you want to make the world a better place, you can start by what? Looking at the man in the mirror. I love that song. I know he did some crazy things with his life personally, but that song particularly has some great Christian values in it. If you want to make the world a better place, he says, why don't you go home and take care of you, okay? And he makes that pretty straight in that song. And I tell people all the time, we start getting to barking about the church. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, how about you and me? Let's go do better about what it is you're talking about. Just you and me. We don't have to go to the elders. We don't nothing. Just you and me. Let's start doing what God wants us to do. Okay? So I really want to get that in the minds of all of us, of what the church has to offer is it's spiritual business. That's what it is. The Lord sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could have sin taken out of our life. That's very important. That's a great effort. If you can come up with some way to communicate that to people in your school, in your neighborhood, in this country, in other countries, I would think that's something the Lord would say, let's go do. Okay? If you can bring people to salvation. I texted a guy from my gym and told him, hey, I'm not going to be back for Monday morning class at 6 a.m. because I'll be, you know, driving back and going to teach over here. And he's a pretty good Christian guy. He and I have talked a lot about salvation. And he writes back, good luck, and I hope you can show people the way to salvation. There's a young guy that understands spiritual business, right? He didn't say good luck and have fun over there. He understands I'm coming over here to try to let's dig on Christ. Let's understand the church, okay? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is very interesting. While I'm talking to you about my hope to walk efforts, my phone just texts me and says I'm going on the 24th of August to Honduras. So that was a little interesting. So I am going to Honduras. I didn't know if I was, but now I know I am. Ephesians chapter 1, again, another great book. And if I could leave you with just this weekend, go home and read the book of Ephesians. When I went to Africa several years ago with my dad and Paul and Sid Latham, that's what I did on the plane ride over. I was a little nervous, to be honest, to be traveling with guys like Paul and my dad and Sid, who knew the book in a way that I thought, man, I don't know if I should even be over here with these guys. What am I going to do? You know, how in the world am I going to do any good? And I was like, I'm going to study real hard all the way till we get there. I'm going to know as much as I can know. And so the whole plane ride over, I just had a little notebook, a little memo card that would hold these. I just read the book of Ephesians. I was just writing notes on the airplane, you know. And it just really helped me understand a lot of things about the church. And so I encourage you just to read the book. But here he says, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. So we didn't use that word a while ago. And we don't use that word a lot. But I would have had no problem pulling up here in this place and said, hey, the saints at Elizabethtown, the called out, meet here. That's who we are. It's not a word that we use a lot because we kind of feel almost disrespectful to call someone a saint, right? They're so perfect, you know, whatever. But in Christ, we're viewed as saints. That's a word that's perfectly okay. It's just not real common that we use that word. But he calls them saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So maybe I need to make sure and say that more than I have already. If you're not in Christ Jesus, that's something you need to work on, number one. Okay, and we'll be glad to help you with that this weekend. We're not really just trying to lay out the plan of salvation and teach the basics of coming to God this week. We got some other things in mind. But maybe I need to make sure and understand if that's something in your head, or you need to talk to some of the people here or your Bible class teachers or whatever. That's number one. He's assuming these people are in Christ. These are saints. You become a saint not because you attend a physical building that maybe you've confused as being the church, but you become a saint because you're baptized into Christ. That's when you become a saint. That's when you become freed from your sin. If you have not done that, you need to consider very heavily where you are in your understanding of that. You need to be in Christ. Now, I don't want to just blow through that and keep reading and just, we got to be in Christ, okay? That's where we got to be. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in who? And I'm asking for an answer right there. And this one's in your Bible, so you don't have to know this one. Just look down at verse 3. In who? Christ. There you go. Don't have to whisper that one. That's one that I love the Bible classes we teach. We can ask the most basic question, and no one wants to say, in Christ. You know, it's like, well, we know that. I'm like, no, we need to make sure we understand that. These are things that are found in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? So you got to get in the church. You got to get into the body of Christ. Okay? According as He hath chosen us in Him. How many times you will read the word in Him? Or in Christ, or of Christ in the book of Ephesians. Other places as well, but especially here. It's probably pretty important, right? In Christ, he says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's pretty cool to me, to think that before God even said, let there be light, and it was, He already had consideration for us, me. You can say you for yourself. He had already considered your salvation. Before He even started building the physical earth, He first decided, I'm a spiritual being, and I'm about spiritual things, and I'm going to create a plan to spiritually save the people to whom I'm going to create. He did that first. Then He gave us this awesome place that we can live. But he's a spiritual being. The church is a spirit. That's one thing I guess we didn't say earlier. Wanted to make sure of. The church is spiritual when I ask those questions. It's a spiritual relationship made up of physical people engaged in a spiritual relationship. Okay? That's what it is. It's not a physical thing. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5 of Ephesians 1. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It was His good pleasure. He was happy to do this. It was something He thought was very positive of God's will, the church. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, so that's whom. Who are we talking about? In who? In Christ. Okay? So in whom, so in Christ, we have redemption. There's the church, if you will. That's what's going on here. It's about a way that God could fulfill the very thing that He says He thought about before He ever created the world was our spiritual well-being. And then you find out that it's in Christ that we're redeemed from our sinful condition. We're brought into the church. That's a great program. We had a family leave our church here in the last couple months. So there wasn't enough programs for their children. You know, they're looking for social things and things. And we do a lot of spiritual things. We have Bible classes. We do things like this. It's not, they were looking for something social. And it's bothered me that they're looking for that. They're taking their family to somewhere that I think the Lord would have some problems with some of the things that they're doing, where they're now worshiping God. Because they got confused and they wanted to look for their children to have some social pieces instead of go, you know what? Number one, I want my children to be freed from sin and know all about Christ. That's the church. Don't confuse it with any other organization. Go do what my buddy Ed has done and start a nonprofit for other things that you want to do, and you can do that. But don't confuse that with the church. This is a spiritual place. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one. So here's the church now going to be pooled back together all over the world. Okay, so you talk about the church. When I lost my leg, and we'll talk about some of those things this weekend as well, but when I was in the deep darkness of life that I didn't know you could go in, okay, maybe someone here has been there before, but I had not. I'd had a very good life. I'd had a very fun life. I had a fun, loving home. I had success in the physical world. I was able to play sports and have fun. I was had my job. I was feeding my family. Life was just positive, and it had bumps in it, but it was just good. I didn't know. There's a song, you know you've been high when you're feeling low. Who sings that song? Some of you probably know that song I'm talking about. I forget. But anyway, he says, you know you've been high when you're feeling low. That's on the board in my gym. It stays up there just for me. Just to remember, life can get worse. But anyway, when I was in the deep darkness of depression, the church, God's people, was amazing what it did for me. Okay, so my accident happened on August the 14th. On August the 16th or 17th, I was able to kind of collect up some information through my phone by way of text and phone calls and my Facebook page. And I had been contacted, either me or my wife, by 46 of the U.S. states and 5 continents in the world, my brethren, who cared about me. So from that point forward, it was as if God took me and put me in the front seat of a roller coaster and said, listen, you've seen a little bit of what the church is locally in your hometown, but I'm going to show you what the church is. And it's just the next 4 or 5 months. Of course, it kind of teared off as I began to make my recovery and get on with my life. But that was the church spiritually looking out for one of its spiritual members, me. And it was awesome to see what God has put together. And those people that reached out to me, right? Some of these people, I thought, how do they even know? I don't even know who these people are. God's going to bring them all together. And to be honest, I've kind of lost some of that. It was really fresh for about a year. I was just so pumped about the church, you know, what it can do when it does what God intends it to do. And here you see God's going to bring all, that's the church I'm a part of. Yeah, you may be here in Elizabethtown, and I may be in Concord, but we are of the church, a spiritual organization headed by Christ. Maybe that's something else we needed to answer in our what is the church. It does not have an earthly headship, okay? It has a heavenly headship. There is no earthly organization needed other than a local body, and the Lord puts elders and deacons there. Okay, so let's don't get confused. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, verse 11, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that He should be to the praise, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in who? In Christ. In Christ. In Him. In Christ. Of whom, according to His purpose, Christ, Christ, Christ. The church is of Christ. If here in Elizabethtown, if you ever think it's going some other direction, don't be afraid to raise your hand or talk to them and say, hey, is this what Christ wants us to do? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm young. I'm trying to learn. But is this something Christ has driven? I mean, this is a Christ-driven organization. Let's leave it that way. And let's follow its headship. And let's do what Christ wants it to do. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, verse 12, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. Okay? This is the message you need to hear. There's no other book, there's no other creed, there's no man-made third edition or addendum that goes with this. He says, you heard the word of truth. If your friends, family are trying to tell you there's something else that someone else wrote, you need to tell them, say, no, Ephesians 1 says there's just this one truth, the gospel. Go after it. Okay, that's the doctrine that we follow. Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession into the praise of His glory. Okay, listen to verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that? This is a Christ-driven, purchased with His own blood organization. We are in Him as a part of this organization. And then here you see again this idea that is of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Go learn about Jesus. The eye of your understanding being enlightened. That's kind of your spiritual insight. Hopefully, as you progress in life, you continue to open your spiritual eye and you want to find out what it is that God has to offer. Your spiritual eyes have been opened that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Again, we're trying to inherit heaven as a spiritual organization, if you want to call it that. Okay, that word can be dangerous in some ways, but it is. It's organized by God. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't go wrong with that. Okay, it's organized by God. It has an inheritance program called heaven. That's what we're trying to get to. Okay, and my buddy Paul Sheehan and I don't run a lot anymore, but I do have a running blade that I can run on, but I don't do it a lot. But Paul's a runner. And so he and I went, we just ran a little distance around my gym. We talked some about the Lord and the church and things like that. And that's what he just kept saying. I alluded to that. You know, he said, I tell people all the time, the Lord is about spiritual business. And I told him, maybe that's the word I need to use for these young people in Kentucky, that we understand the church is, it's spiritual. If it's not spiritual and it's not bringing people to Christ, then we need to be careful. Okay, it might be a good thing. Might be, I saw a buddy of mine the other day. He went to a laundromat, he and his wife and another family, and they sat in there for 3 hours just on their own, and they paid for laundry for people for 3 hours. Anyone that came in, they just paid to do their laundry. They didn't say in there, you know, the advertising, they were the whatever city, church of Christ. They were just Christians doing good, telling people about Jesus. That's what they did. They told those people, well, we're here because we love the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we drive people to the church, we need to drive people to who? Jesus. That's who we're going after. That's who we need to be like. That's who we need to strive to follow. Let's drive people to Jesus. In that path, sure, they're going to find out that they need to be a part of a church, because when they baptize into Christ, they're added to the church big time, and they need to get involved somewhere locally. Right? I understand that. I'm not trying to get away from that, but we got to drive people to Jesus. And what is, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His ministry power, mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So maybe we need to remember that too. We know He died, and everyone understands that pretty much in the world. But we need to remember that He overcame death. God was involved. This was God in the flesh. God came down to the earth in the flesh, in the body of Christ Jesus. He overcame. This is, again, this is a real deal. This isn't someone who died for an organization and they're still on the ground. He died and He arose. He walked again on the face of the earth, which is wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You talked about, you know, we're told we have the first heavens, which I kind of think is just basically our skylines, and you have the second heavens, which I think is referencing the galaxies. And the Lord tells us in other places that He's in the third heaven. He's way out there. And I know they've done a lot of neat things with this telescope. I don't know if you've seen some of those images, but they just keep zooming out, and it's galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. And now they've found that there's this area that's a void that's really odd to the scientists, and they can't figure it out. And me and my son, I say, we don't know, but I said, maybe that's where He is. I don't know. I'm not trying to say that He is. But it's really interesting that they go, we don't understand where that's going out to somewhere we cannot get to. And I said, hey, maybe that's a third heaven. I don't know. But God's a long ways from here. I think that description is intentional for us to remember this is an earthly place. He dwells nowhere close to that. He's in a spiritual place. He's hanging out in a spiritual realm that we are a part of. We're just physically down here. Don't forget what the church is. It's a spiritual organization. Don't forget that, okay? Let's continue here at the end of this chapter. Verse 22. So let's finish verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And here's maybe an important passage for you to try to remember where it is. Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23. And He hath put all, we had to memorize this verse when I was a little bitty guy. I have an old Bible at my house right now that has a little page like this full of all the memory verses I used to have when I would go to my dad's Sunday night class before church. It's embarrassing because I can't quote half of those now. I used to have more Bible knowledge in my head. I can quote some of them. I'm just saying it's not a bad thing to know where some of this is. But He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all. That comes in my brain from when I was 5, right? But He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. He's head over it, of all things to the church. Who's in charge of the church? Me and my friends and our good idea, we want to feed everybody. That's a good idea, but that's not who's in charge of the church. Well, the church here in Elizabethtown, we've got some great ideas. We want to, that's good, but God has given Christ to be head over all things pertaining to the church. So if you're going to say we're of Christ, and I think you need to, sick of people trying to act like they want to get away from the name of Christ, He purchased this thing. Well, we're sick of it. We're not the church of Christ. I'm like, well, I am. I understand what they're getting at. They're getting mad at some different things going on with groups. But I'm of Christ, and I'll always say that, and so should you. He died for you. He died for me. Don't run around and try to slash his name out of the very organization which he purchased with his blood. Okay? Don't do that. He's been given authority over all things to the church. If he's been given authority and you're going to be in, and I hope you want to be in, you should want to be in, then we're going to have to go look to him for what we're going to do. That's the church. The church falls under the headship of Jesus Christ. We operate locally, but we have to let Christ authorize and ordain what we do, okay? Which is the body, verse 23, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church is the fullness of Christ. I think that's something else we have to know, okay? The church is the fullness of Christ. So Christ did his thing and came to this earth. He walked on the earth. He suffered great persecution, was beaten and crucified. He died. He overcame. He rose. He walked again and he ascended. The church adds to his fullness, okay? The church is his fullness. It is the fullness of Christ that the church does its thing the way that it should do its thing, according to him, okay? If you want to help Christ be filled, you want to be a part of his fullness, then let's make the church operate in a way that glorifies his name. That's what he's getting at, okay? The fullness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And really, we probably don't have time to read through this thing entirely. Just another chapter to look at here pertaining to the church. I just want you guys really to have this. I mean, you've got the resurrection of Christ early in chapter 15 and verses kind of 1 through 19 and just some pieces of this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Again, don't be afraid to stand up for the truth. Don't do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, I guess. Maybe that's the word. And kind of the word, we just had a class in Concord on this whole idea of coexist. So one of our brethren took that sticker that you see and kind of went through all those different meanings of what each letter is, trying to make sure that we understand we don't coexist as a religious group. Christ did not blend, we'll talk about some of this on Sunday, well with other religious organizations. We're of him, so it's perfectly fine if we don't blend well. And if everyone doesn't say, no, that's the coolest kid in school, he's a Christian, he stands up for God, that's really awesome. Let's put him on a hall somewhere and put his... If they don't do that, that doesn't matter. You're standing for Christ. Moreover, it's of him. It's him that we're doing this for. We should be bold that we should stand. I love that word. Wherein ye stand. Stand up as Christians. We need it, right? Our country is making a lot of decisions about things that are allowing sinful things to be legalized. It doesn't mean that they're going to happen more. It just means that they've legalist marriage, divorce, I mean, gay marriage situation is a mess, right? But that doesn't mean you can't keep standing up. That's the government. God is still in control. You're still in control. You stand up for what's right, and you speak up what's right, and you don't be afraid of the consequences of those things. As you age in life, face those consequences. Stand up for Christ. That's what he's asking us to do. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all, was seen of me also. This is a pretty cool passage. You don't think Jesus died and rose again? Let me tell you. Several people saw him. James saw him. Cephas saw him. 500 people saw him here. 12 apostles over here. I saw him. This is a recorded passage for you and me to empower us to say, this is real. Christ did die, and he did raise from the dead and overcome death, and he ascended to be into heaven. It's a great passage. I think sometimes we kind of hear all these things in our world around us and start doubting our faith, and well, maybe Christianity's not so wrong approach. We need to stand up in love and say, no, these things happen. This is the real deal. And I'm a part of a church that Jesus Christ gave his blood for. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And we won't go too much further in that passage there because there's a lot we could cover in 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll kind of close our time on this one. This one is not so much a motivational speech, as this one's a pretty heavy get in the book. But I think we all need it, but especially as a younger people. You've got to embolden yourself to realize this thing you're a part of, the church, it's not just some thing that you're a part of. It is a God-planned, Christ-headed, blood-bought, overcoming death, heavenly headship operating organization of God's people trying to go up there and be with them. That's what we're trying to do. So if anything the church is going to do is outside of that, it's not a bad idea to question that. Go, hey, before we go down this route, or we're going to go do this or do that, is this something that comes down from the top? Would Christ be glorified that the church is doing X, Y, or Z, whatever it is? If he is, then you go do it with all your heart. If not, maybe you need to look in the book again. You go, let's go see if God has asked us to do this. That's telling me to shut up and finish this session right here. And you'd probably say, that's a good idea. That's enough. But I really want you to, as a younger people, to hang your hat on the headship of Christ, the heavenly home of the operating procedures of the church. Every other organization you'll find has a lot of earthly places. That is not the spiritual church that we're a part of. It operates from the top down. And we got to do from the bottom up what the top is asking. Thank you very much. Take another little break.